Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. I hope you enjoyed your 21-hour break. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And I just want to say one more time, thank you for your participation in Pledge Drive last week. It's over. It's now Wednesday of the following week, but you did a great job. Thank you, all those who participated, in excess of 15,000 of you who helped us stay fully funded. So just want to say thank you one more time, in case you didn't hear it yesterday or the day before. And I think the door might still be open if you want to participate and be counted in that pledge drive. You can always go to relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app, and we'll count whatever you want to put in there today toward that pledge drive. I sounded a little bit like Christopher Walken there. Come on. My voice just did a Walken thing.
Walkens are welcome.
Walken.
Hey, I have an email here, Patrick, that I think you're going to get a kick out of.
All right. All right. Is this a fun email or an
this
angry
is,
email?
This is, what a, kind of this? This is like sugary sweet email. This is going to set your day on the right path.
All right.
All right. So this is from Abby, and she says, the subject lines, I'm addicted to, and then the message is, I discovered the Patrick Madrid Show a couple of weeks ago, and I am addicted to it. I stumbled onto your show on the radio last spring, and I have been listening ever since. My job can be stressful at times, and I listen to your show at work every day, and it makes the day so much more pleasant. Then, a couple of weeks ago, the horror. There were other people on your
what
there
did we
were
do
other
wrong?
People on your show for the whole week. No respect to your fill-ins, but it was not the same.
No respect.
No disrespect. That's my fault. I mispronounced that.
Poor Ken Hensley.
I know. Ken was so good. All right. So no disrespect to your fill-ins, but it was not the same. I really miss my daily dose of Patrick. I need another cup of coffee. And now you and Cyrus are back, and things are normal again. Hooray! Yay. Thank you for all that you do. And that's from Abby. And she actually has a question. She says, my question.
Well, that was good enough, just that. That was great.
I know,
great.
Wasn't that nice? But we
thank you, Abby.
But since you put in a question here, we might as well get to that. Why do we say, I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins in the Creed at Mass? I don't understand the word confess. I don't understand why the word confess is used. God bless.
Hey, that's a great letter, Abby. Thank you for that. So the reason we say that is that this is the Creed. It's the Nicene Creed, the one that we say on Sunday. And it is, among other things, primarily Christological issues, you know, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. All of those statements that we're making are affirmations, public affirmations of the faith of the church in Jesus Christ, who he is. Now, we talk about God the Father, we talk about God the Holy Spirit. So there are many different theological truths that are packed into that creed. And one of them, the one that you're reciting here, is a reference to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, where St. Paul says there's one faith, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. So the import of that statement, which is why it's in the Creed, is to affirm that we believe not only in one Lord, Jesus, and also one faith, the faith that Jesus came to establish, but also that there's one baptism, and that we believe that baptism changes you. It gives you an irrevocable, permanent mark. St. Thomas called it a character. And I've used the analogy before of like a signet ring that a king might impress into hot wax on a parchment that is carrying some decree. And the symbolism of the signet ring being impressed into the wax is that the image of his ring is transferred to the wax, and therefore people who see this parchment, let's say you're the person that it's delivered to, well, you'll be able to see and know that this is authentic and it comes from the king because his image or the image of his ring is in the wax. So in a way similar to that, although it's not corporeal, it's not, you know, in your soul isn't physical, so it's not receiving physically speaking an impression. This is just an analogy, but that's what happens in baptism. So when we get to that part of the creed, we're in essence quoting scripture and we're affirming publicly. Now, when how did she put it, Cyrus? What was the exact phraseology of her question? Why do we say what? Why do we say I confess?
That's okay, right. Why do we say I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins?
Right. Okay. So maybe part of her question has to do with the word confess, because in our modern 21st century American English parlance, to say I confess, it has the connotation that you are admitting to something. You're admitting to perhaps a fault, or you're admitting to having done something wrong, or you're admitting to something. It doesn't have that connotation in the creed. It doesn't mean what we might think of as, well, I confess, you know, I'm the one.
It's not saying
who pranked you last week.
I'm guilty of one baptism.
Right, right. And I can see, I never really thought of it that way. That's a good way to put it, Cyrus. I never really have given that any thought, but I can see how that could have that, could give you the impression. So let's rule that out. That's not what it's saying. Rather, to confess means to publicly witness to. So we talk in Catholic parlance about the doctors of the church. They weren't physicians, although maybe they knew a bit about medicine. A doctor of the church is the archaic word for teacher. So a doctor has the role of teaching. So doctors of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Athanasius, and various others, I think it's up to about 40 now, or confessors. Now, a confessor would be a term that's used for a man or woman, boy or girl, who typically under either threat of martyrdom or under the rigors and pains of an attempted martyrdom, they nonetheless publicly testified to Jesus. They testified to the faith. That's what the word confess means in this context, that you are publicly letting everybody know this is what you believe. So I hope that helps. That's a great question. I don't think I've ever had that question before. So blue ribbon for you. And we appreciate it. If you want to send me a message, you can go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. Send it to me there. I just want to mention something that I noticed in the news this morning. I think it's kind of odd, and maybe there's nothing to it. Maybe there is. I don't know. But the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, I don't know whether she pronounces it Nicola. I think it's Nicola. She would be the equivalent of like the Prime Minister of Scotland, although Scotland is still attached to the United Kingdom, so that she's not like the Prime Minister in the British sense. But in any case, she resigned suddenly, and she's been in office for 8 years. She has been, as is described here in an article from Axios, she's been described, and I see her on TV quite a bit because I watch a fair amount of European news. She's been a champion of Scottish independence, and this makes her the second high-profile female leader to announce resignation in recent weeks. The other one, you may have noticed this, was New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. She, just a few weeks ago, she announced abruptly that she was going to resign. And from what I could tell, she seemed to be, even though I think ideologically I would probably disagree with her on just about everything, both of these women are very left of center. So politically, I don't have any real sympathy for them, but they're in the prime of their lives in terms of, you know, what we might call shelf life for a politician. You know, you can continue to serve to a much older age, and yet they both resigned suddenly. So I just took note of that. Now, Jacinda Ardern, she said that she didn't have anything more to give. She felt burned out. And maybe that's what managing COVID will do to you. You know, she was front and center when it came to the lockdowns and the masks and all that. So who knows? Maybe there's something like that. I don't know if there's anything to it, but the reason I'm mentioning it is because it's an anomaly for two high-profile women politicians to resign suddenly. Cyrus, I don't know, did a Chinese spy balloon fly through their lives all of a sudden and made them reevaluate what their priorities are?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I do not know. So Sturgeon, she was addressing the Scottish National Party's recent meeting, and she said, I could go on for another few months, 6 years, a year maybe, but I know as time passed, I would have less and less energy to do the job. I owe it to the country to say it now. I believe I have led this country closer to independence. That's like the really big goal for her. And understandably so. I'd like to live free. I don't know if I go along with live free or die. I don't know if I'd take it that far. That's on a license plate. Is that New Hampshire? I think it is. But I could understand the independence movement per se. But anyway, I just wanted to make note of it, because if in the coming weeks yet another, and wouldn't it be really anomalous if it was another female politician were to suddenly just abruptly leave the job or not run again. So maybe it's nothing. That's what I'd like to think, Cyrus, but I wanted to mention it. In case it is something, then you can look back and say, hey, he mentioned that. He talked about that. Now I want to talk about something else. By the way, my number is 888-914-9149. I'm going to get to your calls here in just a minute, but in a moment, I want to share with you some statistics from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's a term we heard a lot about over the last few years, wouldn't you say? They have released a new survey on youth risk behavior. They do this every 2 years. And in a few minutes, I want to share with you some statistics having to do primarily with teenage girls and some things that you may say, yes, exactly, I know what they're saying. Or you may say, I didn't know that. And I'm going to share with you what those things are. So that's coming. Tell your friends to listen to Relevant Radio so they can tune into that. Let's see if we can't get to some phone calls. Thomas in Moreno, Louisiana. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Patrick, I heard a story on the radio of, can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you loud and clear, Thomas, all the way.
Yeah, of people going to Lourdes and being dipped in the water and come out and with a warm feeling, and their skin actually dries as they put their clothes on. And some called it the Bernadette bath.
Right. I'm familiar with it.
Can you tell me something?
Sure. So you want to know what happens at Lourdes? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. I just want to know before I ever tell anybody that story.
Okay, sure. I'll give you the lowdown. And by the way, there's a great movie. It's a classic. I think it was filmed in the 50s, if I'm not mistaken. It's in black and white. It's called The Song of Bernadette. And I'm pretty sure you could get that on, I don't know, whatever platform it might be on. But one of those TV platforms, if you just look it up, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. And that's like a two-hour explanation of what I'm about to give you a 60-second explanation of. And that is, in the mid-19th century in rural France, Our Lady appeared to a very unsophisticated, uneducated young girl. It seems to me that she was about 14 or 15. I'd have to go back and look at the precise details, but she was just a girl. And Our Lady appeared to her and told her that she should tell the bishop that he should build a shrine in this out-of-the-way place in the middle of nowhere. Lourdes is up in the Pyrenees, and so it's not near anything. It's far away from Paris, and it's not far from the border with Spain and Andorra. So it's just like Hicksville. Imagine Hicksville in France in the middle of the 19th century. And Our Lady appears to her several times and tells her that this is the place where many miracles will take place, and for the bishop to build a shrine there. And so nobody takes her seriously, and the story is quite amazing. And what results from it is that she says that Our Lady told her that there would be a stream, or there would be a spring of water in this particular place. It was in a grotto, kind of a half type of a cave, again, out in the countryside. So she starts digging, and nobody believes her. It's like, oh, come on. So she starts digging and digging and digging. Well, before you know it, digging with her hands, this spring of water comes out. And it's clear and refreshing and good water, and the people are amazed that she would know where that was. Well, what happened was, one thing leads to another, and people realize, including the bishop, that she was indeed receiving an authentic apparition from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so what you see today, if you were to look it up on Google or if you were to ever go there, Thomas, you would see this magnificent multi-story complex, including this beautiful Gothic church that's built directly over this grotto. Now, one of the things associated with this miraculous story is the promise of healings. And so over the last 150 years, give or take, countless people have made pilgrimages to Lourdes. And typically, especially if you're dying or you're seriously sick or you have some other problem, what they do is they have people there who volunteer to help people to go down into the waters. It's like this big pool now that is continuously replenished by the spring water that's coming up from the ground. And people go in there and they will bathe in the water, you know, for a few minutes, maybe stay longer. It's up to them, really. But over the years, I think the number has risen to maybe just about 100, although there are many claims of miraculous healings. About 100 of them, maybe a little bit more, but about 100, have been scientifically verified as inexplicable. So doctors, scientists, the church prefers atheists and non-Catholics to be the ones who study these things so that there's no room for bias. And the claims of these healings, in some cases, are quite dramatic. And people who were dying suddenly now are saved from death. And about 100 or so of them have been proven scientifically to be at least they're beyond the explanation of science, and so they're deemed to be miracles. And there are many others besides that have not been scientifically studied that way, but the people for whom they came would say that these were miracles. So that, in a nutshell, is what Lourdes is all about. That's what the water is there for. That's why people go into the water. And even if they don't receive a physical healing, any number of times people receive a spiritual healing. Or they receive a revival of their faith. Maybe their faith had been lost over the years. So a lot of great things about it. And there are many books that have been written about it. If you want to just see the movie version, I'd recommend that movie, The Song of Bernadette. It's really good. And it came out around the same time as the movie about Our Lady of Fatima. Not the same actors, but around the same time, same genre of movie. So if you want a double header, Thomas, watch the one, The Song of Bernadette, and then watch the one about Our Lady of Fatima, also from the 1950s. Very, very good. I have to take a break. Thanks for the question, Thomas. I'm going to take a break, but I'm coming back. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. By the way, I want to send a shout-out to Kip in Easton, Pennsylvania, because he called in and left a kind word of encouragement with young Thomas, and young Thomas let me know about that. So shout out, Kip. Thank you. I do appreciate it and certainly reciprocate your esteem. I'll be right back right after this. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. This hour is sponsored by Christendom College. Send your child to Christendom College's high school summer program, the best week ever. Get 50% off by using the promo code RELEVANTRADIO. Spots fill up very quickly, so apply today at thebestweekever.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Well, it doesn't bring me any pleasure to share these statistics that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have released. They do it every 2 years. It's a survey on what they call youth risk behavior. And so as a father, as a grandfather, I take no pleasure in sharing these statistics with you. But I mean, if you're a parent, especially if your children are young, this is important for you to know so that you can prepare accordingly. Now, if you have kids who are going through this, or maybe your kids are grown up now and they went through this, just know that you're not alone. So here is the skinny on this issue. Most teen girls, this is according to the CDC, most teen girls, 57%, felt persistently sad or hopeless. Now, this was from 2021 when they did this survey. Now, the thing about that, 57%, that's bad enough that it's that high, but it's double the amount for boys in the same age cohort, 29%. Nearly one in three teen girls seriously considers attempting suicide. Think about that for a minute. Teenage angst and apathy are not some novel social development. Every generation has lost its own version of hormonal, has its own version of hormonal uprising. The boomers cut their teeth on rock and roll. And the guy who wrote the article, he's giving some examples of, you know, from his own life. But he asks the rhetorical question, what has changed? And here's some specifics. Today's kids in the article, this is from Axios, and Cyrus will get it posted on the show Twitter feed for you. Today's kids are emerging from the upending and isolating COVID lockdowns. They're more medicated than ever. They live a large portion of their lives now online. That's a huge part of it, if you ask me. It's hard to dispute that the internet and social media have greased the slide into the abyss. That is a very well put truth. Let me repeat that for you. The internet and social media have greased the slide into the abyss. Everybody now, let's say it together. The internet and social media have greased the slide into the abyss, especially for vulnerable young people. Study after study has proven this, including a 2020 set of findings that Instagram, we talked about this story, is wreaking havoc on the mental state of girls. And yet, the article points out, no one has intervened in a meaningful way, except for me, of course. He didn't mention me. Maybe he doesn't listen to this program. I've intervened on this a few times, wouldn't you say, Cyrus, over the last few years?
More than once, and I wish I would have taken your advice.
Well, you know, live and learn, right? So depression, eating disorders, gender confusion. There are subreddits and TikToks and YouTube videos that cater to all of these tastes, these niche. I know some people like to say niche. It's very continental of them. But here in America, we just say niche. They cater to these niches. They create a feedback loop that's virtually inescapable. And in a minute, you're going to hear one such person, a young woman, who is so overcome with disappointment and anger that her aunt, her godmother, her grandma, I forget which, we'll hear it in just a minute, won't use her preferred name. She's going down the trans path. Online teens are fed the cynical ideas that capitalism is terrible. Some forms of capitalism certainly are terrible, but capitalism as such, way, 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 way better than communism and socialism, may I say to you. They're told that language is violence, and they're told that if they make it out of their teen years, the climate change monster is going to wallop them with a death blow. Do you ever notice, Cyrus, there's a lot of talk about climate change, and I'm not a scientist. I don't know, but I've been told.
Okay.
Why is it that all the people, well, maybe not all of them, but like the big people who are right out front in telling everybody else about climate change and carbon footprint and all that stuff, why are they buying waterfront properties in places like Florida and Hyannisport, Massachusetts? I'm thinking about the Obamas.
Uh-huh.
And Al Gore.
The Al Gores.
The Al Gores. Although they broke up and she died. May she rest in peace. But yeah, so I mean, why are those people?
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, why are they buying?
Why are they doing that?
Waterfront property. That's a really good question. And you'd think that insurance companies would have a very big stake in this, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't cover waterfront property if there was really any danger of them falling into the ocean.
Talk about your mortgage literally being underwater.
No kidding. And so yeah, speaking of these climate change screamers. Where are they with the Ohio train disaster?
Now, there's a question.
Where are they? They're real quiet.
By the way, I know we're getting off the topic, but I need to mention this. In some corners of the world, that train derailment, and it was that explosion in the black cloud wasn't from the derailment. It was from when igniting.
They burned it on purpose, from what it sounds like.
Yeah, to be able to clear it up, but it's not, and this is where it's weird, because not only is it not, I mean, it's like being reported in the local news, but it's not really taking up any space at all. And you would think, if you looked at some news reportage of it, that this is Armageddon and everybody is dying and all the animals are dying and the cattle are dying and the birds are falling. Nothing like that's happening.
But the birds are falling. The fish are dying. The chickens are dying. The foxes are dying.
Not for the most part, though. That's what's weird about this. It is a phenomenon near that spot. What is it? East Palestine, they say?
That's right.
By the way, a lot of the screamers who are anti-Israel, they stopped talking about that when they realized that that's not in the Holy Land. When they found out that that's in Ohio, they just stopped.
You know, another thing with these the climate change, the screamers, I saw this. I don't even know what to make of this. It was a paper straw in a plastic. So it was individually wrapped in plastic paper straws.
Yeah. Yeah, something about self-defeating comes to mind.
It doesn't make any sense.
So these kids, these girls, these adolescents are being just fed this constant, steady diet of dire predictions, doom and gloom. Everything is wrong. Everything is bad. Everyone is against you. There's microaggressions everywhere. And so the article points out that a kind of paralysis sets in. These sites and platforms also work to supplant your parental gatekeeper role. They actively undermine you as mom and dad in the minds of your young people, your sons and daughters who are watching these things. And let's face it, they are all watching these things. They're all on TikTok. Instead of reaching out to adults for help, kids are told that you need to check in with a therapist or watch this video. Here's a phone number. Call this phone number. We'll give you some help. And very often, what happens is that these are pipelines into the world of the trans movement and many other things besides. One of the things that this study shows is a fairly, I don't know if I call it widespread, but it's a significant enough phenomenon of many girls with Tourette's syndrome. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. Tourette. It has to do with compulsively saying bad words. And so there are TikTok videos showing girls doing that. And you have to say, if a girl sees another girl, or a guy sees a girl for that matter, and she's doing something like that that's outrageous and attention-getting, and my parents would be so mad if I ever did that, what do you think the likelihood is that they might be tempted to try to mimic that? So the issues of despair are huge. And this study is worth reading. And it goes into some other issues that, rather than just kind of barrage you with one thing after another, the main thing is I just want you to be aware of it. And in the article, it does give suggestions on what you can do as a parent to help your child, among other things. And this is one of those situations where locking the barn door after the horses are out of the barn doesn't do much good. But if you're a younger parent, or if it doesn't matter your age, but if your children are young enough and they haven't yet hit that brick wall of having a smartphone. Don't give them smartphones, by the way. Don't give them smartphones, please. It's like handing your child a stick of dynamite. If they're internet enabled, it's like handing your child a stick of dynamite and assuming that everything will be okay. But regardless, read the article. Because what's the old saying? Forewarned is forearmed. And you'll be in a much better position to help your child through these difficult times.
But, Dad, everyone has a cell phone.
Mm-hmm. And?
Why can't I have one?
Well, because you're my child. They're not my children. You know the version of that that was common when I was a kid? My mom and all the other moms up and down the street would say the same thing. Well, if all your friends were jumping off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge too?
I've heard that.
And it's true. Yeah, I mean, the lemming effect is so pronounced right now, like lemmings. And this is true of humans in general, and it's true of previous generations. I'm not singling out this generation. It's just that they now are dealing with something that no previous generation had ever had to deal with, and that is the rise of the internet and TikTok and YouTube and these ubiquitous ways of this information and ideology reaching you at every moment of your waking life. We never had to deal with that. Nobody ever had to deal with that. So the lemming effect is very powerful. If you see other kids doing something, well, then you've got to do it too, because you don't want to be looked down upon. You don't want to be the oddball. You don't want to be the freak. And besides, it's kind of cool because everyone else is doing it. But there's so many things that people do. I mean, just take a look at drugs and sexual promiscuity. And I don't even want to enumerate some of the other things that are so vile out there that are going on. And just because somebody else is doing it is definitely not a reason for you to do it. The question really would be, if you're, when you're talking to your kids, is this good for you? If this is good for you, let's talk about it. But if this is bad for you, if this is harmful to you, if this would lead you into a world in which despair and suicide and nihilism and self-destructive habits and unbridled passions and aberrant ideologies and perverted sexual ideas, I mean, that's all bad for you. So that's why. No, sorry, you can't have that. That's what I'd say, Cyrus. Yeah. I never really had to say that, because when my kids were growing up, these things didn't exist, at least not in the form they do now. Weird, man.
Yeah, it is. It's, I feel so bad for the kids. What a hard time to grow up. I'm glad this stuff wasn't available to me when I was a kid, because I would have been addicted to it.
I think that's true of almost all of us. I was not a wild child when I was growing up. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a juvenile delinquent. I was just, you know, a kid of my generation. And it was, it was a time when, before the internet, of course, I'm talking about the 1970s, there were plenty of things you could get into trouble doing, for sure. But that's always been the case. But it wasn't like it is now. I mean, we just didn't have access to any of this stuff. In fact, not only did we not have access to any of it, we didn't know about any of it. I'd never even heard of the gender ideology movement, much less have seen it.
No one saw that coming. That came out of left field.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly did. So to your point, and I think it's a valid point, I thank God that I didn't grow up in a time with the internet and all these things, because I think I would be like you and almost everyone else, which is why I have such great compassion for the young people who are going through this now, because they're up against something that is so powerful that they're just unequipped to deal with it. But I think, yeah, I think I probably would have been pulled into it and probably destroyed. And God in his providence, you know, he has us on this earth at a time and place when he wants us here for a reason. We have a role to play. And maybe, just maybe, that role is, if you're listening right now, and if you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, and you're listening, and I would propose to you that your role in God's plan of salvation is, because you didn't have to live through this kind of stuff, you were never damaged by it. You are intact in ways that many of the young people nowadays are just not intact, or they're not even aware of what it means to be intact anymore. So I would propose to you that God in his loving providence has you situated where you are at this time and at the age that you are, so that you can be a beacon of hope and encouragement for people, including other parents who are floundering and they don't know exactly how to deal with this. They may even be having problems with it themselves. Look at the pornography epidemic. You know, it's just up and down the age range. It doesn't only affect young people. So that's just one example.
Well, and so, it's like that this kid that wrote to their, or they asked their grandma to change, this girl wants to be called Mike or whatever. And the grandma writes this beautiful letter. And the kid I think we should play that audio.
Do you want to play it now, or do you want to? Let's come back from the break. We also have phone calls I want to get to as well. So all of you holding on the phones, I am coming to you. And why don't we save the audio? So why don't you set this up, Cyrus, what we're going to hear when we come back from the break? It's a young woman. She looks to be in her teens, I would guess, right?
Yeah, that's right. And she's talking into her phone, and she doesn't understand why her grandma and some of her family members won't
call her Mike.
Call her Mike. And accept that she identifies as a different gender. And right. She's very upset about it. And then she reads the letter her grandma sends.
Don't, Don't give too much away.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, I'll bet you she was a perfectly normal, happy young girl before she ever got TikTok. I'm pretty sure if I had to guess that TikTok corrupted her.
I'd put money on it.
Okay. So we're going to do that. You are listening to The Patrick Madrid Show. If you are going to complain about me, please spell my name correctly. M-A-D-R-I-D. This is The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. I'm here for you. I'm coming back right after this.
Inclusive and fully woke, diverse and unpredictable conversations, equality for your day, your non-triggering, non-toxic ally. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
What? Who's she talking about?
Oh, she's talking about you, of course.
I'm non-triggering? I thought I...
Non-triggering, super woke, Patrick Madrid Wow. Show. Right?
I've never been accused of being super woke.
Maybe those things don't mean what I think they mean.
Well, she sounds like a nice lady in any case. Did you post that article yet, Cyrus? The internet is ruining teens?
I did. I think I did. I had it I had it going. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, by the way, before we play this audio, the Leah Thomas story, I don't want to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about it. All right, I don't blame you.
So if you're following... Leah Thomas, you know who Leah Thomas is, the swimmer, the man who's presenting himself as a woman. He's on, Penn State, I think, the swim team, and he's just shattering all the records because he's so much bigger and faster than the women that he's swimming against. But anyway, he's in the news again, and I don't even want to talk about why. So I'm going to press the delete button on that one. All right. Here is, I can't bring myself to talk about it. Here is... How do we put this? So this is a TikTok video of a... Why don't you do the honors, Cyrus? You did it so well just before
this
break.
Is a
For
gender,
people to know what we're talking about.
This is a gender non-conforming girl, and she's crying because her grandma won't call her Mike. And as you'll hear... Well, I guess we should just let her explain herself.
Yeah. And she's beside herself. She's in tears. She's frantic. She's distraught. And okay, let's play it.
Hi. So recently I texted my parents because I'm going to go home for Christmas, and I said, hey, do you mind calling me Mike when I come back for Christmas? And then when I got home today, I got this letter from my grandma, and it is addressed to Miss Old Name. Not actually, but you know, I don't want to say my real name on the internet. Dearest Dead Name. On this, our Blessed Mother's feast day, I am writing to tell you that I will not address you as Mike. My decision is probably not a surprise to you. Others may comply with your request. My anguish in your chosen name and what that means has to do with your eternal soul. Know that I love you more than words could ever possibly convey to you. No matter how you decide to identify yourself does not change my deep love for you, honey. Because of my concerns for your soul and your mental health, I am spending more time with Jesus in adoration. My cousin's last names are doing the same for you. Then she lists my 5 cousins that are below the age of 10 who are apparently offering up special personal sacrifices for me, who I didn't tell that I wanted to go by Mike. I didn't want to. I haven't talked with your godmother and her family, but I'm sure they would do the same for you. Do you know how much you are cherished and loved? It would be a joy to see you and be with you during the coming Christmas celebration of our Lord's birth.
Okay, so she just sort of trails off there because I guess she just can't continue anymore. Now, I want to begin what I have to say on this issue by saying, number one, I feel tremendous sadness for this young woman. I don't know how old she is. It's hard to tell. 18, 20, 21, it's hard to tell. I don't know. But as a father, as a grandfather, my heart breaks for this young woman. It just, and I can only imagine the love and compassion that her mom and dad and the rest of her family have for her, and it causes them anguish to see her suffering like this. But take a look, number one, at what is bothering her so much. She's insisting that her family recognize what she believes, her reality, her truth. And it's so distressing to her, but she doesn't realize that her refusal to accept her parents' reality is okay. In her world, in her mind, it's okay for her to basically tell them, you know, stuff it. I don't care what you believe. I want to be called Mike. And I don't care how you feel. I don't care what your worldview is. I don't care what your truth is. I am beside myself and hysterical because you won't buy into my worldview. So that's the first thing just to take note of, just in terms of the dynamic here. And if you're going through a situation perhaps with somebody that you care about and you're getting kind of, you know, relentless, I don't know what the word for it is, condemnation, fury that you're not willing to accept this, just gently point that out. Why? How does this work exactly? Where because you want to, independently, of course, of things like, you know, science and physiology and the evidence of one's sex, male or female, the binary is real. God created them male and female, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19. And you don't even need Jesus to tell us that. All you have to do is look around and you can tell. But the point is that if you're in a situation like that, just gently bring that up and just say, I'd like you to explain this to me. Why is it that I have to bend and conform to your worldview and yet you won't respect much? I mean, I'm not asking you to conform to my worldview. I'm not asking you to kowtow to my worldview. All I'm asking you to do is accept the fact that I look at the world differently than you do. And I don't want to call you Mike because that's not your name, because that's not who you are.
This girl is so
lucky. So ask that question.
A grandma like this. She's so lucky.
Gosh, yes.
And the grandma's so nice, and the letter is so beautiful. And you can tell that this girl is loved unconditionally. Yet there are still boundaries.
Yeah, the grandmother put into writing what so many grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers would like to say but are afraid to say it. And I have to give her a lot of credit for that. She actually addressed the issue directly, lovingly, that's true. So that's the other thing I wanted to get to as well, and that is that if you're in a situation where you're having to deal with or counsel or, you know, manage a situation like this in your own family, do what that grandmother did. Be loving about it. Be honest. Don't play any games and don't back down. In other words, don't enable somebody in their delusion, but be loving about it. And I like the way she talked about spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. All of these beautiful things that the grandmother said. Yeah, beautiful to you and to me, but you notice by watching the video how infuriated this young woman was. Like, I can't even believe she would say that she's praying for me. Like, how dare you pray for me? Because what I'm doing is clearly the right thing to do. And that's what I'm talking about, is that when you're dealing with somebody like that, just bring up the double standard here. And ask that person to explain it. Ask her to explain, why must I accept your worldview? Why won't you accept my worldview? What if her grandmother went on TikTok and produced a tearful, angst-ridden video about how her daughter refused to accept her worldview? Mm-hmm. That there's only male and female. That's a question, and it's an unanswerable question, really. I mean, the only way to answer it would be if you were to decide to plug in with reality and say, well, okay, I guess if you put it that way, then everybody has a right to their own opinion, and I shouldn't be crying into my cell phone video because grandma won't accept the fact that I want to be called Mike. Okay, I'll stop because everybody has a right to an opinion, but they're not going to say that. So point it out, and it's an example of what's known as cognitive dissonance, where if you can help somebody see that he or she is holding to two diametrically contrary points of view simultaneously, that's the definition of cognitive dissonance. You can't say, you know, that this is a circle and a square at the same time. It could be one or the other, but it can't be both simultaneously.
Yeah. This is a fad. It's a super popular thing right now. It's like bell-bottom jeans, and they're going to grow up and realize that, oh man, I look terrible in those jeans. Everybody looks terrible in bell-bottom jeans. So I would like to see this video in 5 years. I'd like to see this young woman have a video thanking her grandma for loving her and praying for her. Mm-hmm. I think that's what will happen. I think there will be a turnaround.
I pray, but
I really believe that it's true. It will happen for 99.9% of these people. And I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but not by anyone here, but from listeners that they don't want to hear this. But this is the popular.
Sometimes I like to just be quiet and let you talk.
I know. I'm like waiting right for you to.
I'm just going to say nothing and just go.
Okay, I'm done.
No, I know what you're saying. And love and compassion it's the lead for all of this. We have to, the harshness or the anger or the frustration that you might feel is understandable, but the patience, the love, and the compassion, the very things, by the way, that the people who are in the throes of this kind of thing will not give you.
Yep.
Point that out, too.
Yep. I want to be like that grandma. I need to be more like the grandma in that letter.
And, good point.
So God bless her.
Yeah, good point. Well, I wanted you to know about that. This is an example of the statistics from the CDC that I shared with you 20 minutes ago, about the sense of despair and rage and nihilism and all that. I think her commentary on TikTok is kind of an example of what they're talking about. So worth looking at. By the way, got a note. People are they hang on every word, Cyrus, every word. And John in internet land, he's listening on the Relevant Radio app, by the way. He wrote in about my comments about The Song of Bernadette, the movie that I recommended earlier. And he says it came out in 1943. For some reason, I thought it was in the 50s, but fair enough, John. I appreciate that. 1943, 20th Century Fox, a little under 3 hours long. And it is a great movie. So I'm glad to know that I'm not glad to know that I was wrong about the timing, but it was fairly close. Kind of like horseshoes, right? What's the old saying? Horseshoes and hand grenades, close.
Yeah, it's
only in horseshoes and hand grenades?
Only in, yeah. Why is that escaping me?
I don't know. Did you say escape?
I'm going to say nothing.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to Nicolas in Los Angeles. 9 years old, I'm told, Nicolas. Is that right?
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Hello. My question is that, hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Nicolas.
My question is that God is a weird image of God, right?
Yes. As human beings, yes.
I have a question that, whenever someone's born, does his face change or does his face already look like all of us born?
Oh, you mean does God's face change? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, the answer to that is no, because when it says in the Bible in Genesis 1 that God made man in his image and likeness, it doesn't mean that he made Adam and Eve to look like him physically, because although you and I have bodies and souls, God is a pure spirit. He doesn't have a body. So he doesn't have a face, at least not like we do. So, no, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that we're made in the image of God because God has what's called an intellect. Do you know what that word intellect is? Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Okay. So you know then that your intellect is that part of your soul. It's not really a part of your soul. It's a function of your soul that can know the truth so that you can know things. You know how to read, for example. You know how to speak. Maybe you speak Spanish too. So with your intellect, you know things that are true. You know things. And God, of course, is the perfect example of a being who knows things. And then to be in God's likeness, because there in Genesis it says that man and woman are made in God's image and likeness. Likeness has to do with God's holiness. But it doesn't have to do with God having a face or a body. It doesn't mean it in that sense. It means that we're like God because we have an intellect and a will. We can know what is true, and we can choose what is good. That's what it's referring to.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
I did not know that.
I know. It's amazing when you think about some of these things. Tell me, Nicolas, are you homeschooled?
No.
No? Where do you go to school? You don't have to say the name of the school, but are you in a public school or a Catholic school?
Catholic school.
That's great. Do you like it?
Yes.
Awesome. And I'm guessing if you're 9, you probably already made your first Holy Communion, right?
Yes, of course.
That's great. Good for you. So in the not-too-distant future, your next sacrament will be, you know what it is, right? What is it? What's the next sacrament that you're going to get in a few years? You can do it. Think. No guess?
No guess.
All right. Confirmation. I'm sure you knew about that. You probably just forgot, though, right? Confirmation.
Yes.
That's the next big sacrament for you, my young man. All right. You don't sound too impressed, Nicholas. That's okay. Nicolas, excuse me. That's okay, though. We covered some really important ground today. I'm proud of you that you're thinking about these deep issues. Keep doing that. And tell your parents I said thanks for letting you call the show today. Let's do it again. In the meantime, we'll take a break. And don't forget, Father Rocky's Lenten lessons are available by going to relevantradio.com/Lent. They're free and they're awesome and they're yours.